Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this story in Mark's Gospel, this time that you went to this house and preached, and then the guy came through the roof right in front of you. Lord Jesus, we ask that by your Spirit you can help us to see what you were doing that day, why you said what you said. And we also ask that you will draw us to know you better, to see you for who you are, and to come to you as we should. Amen. It's a very familiar passage today, the one that Joe read to us. It's quite striking though, because the thing Jesus does and what he says he's doing seem to be different. So Jesus does something remarkable, something that we're astounded by. But then when he talks about it, we take a step back. It's something different. So let me begin by asking this question, a big question which will kind of follow through in this talk today. So the big question is, who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? Hopefully you'll see what I mean by that shortly. The story's familiar. Jesus is preaching, which is what he wants to do. He said that earlier in Mark. And then these light comes through the roof. Bits fall down. Probably a big hole, big gaping hole comes out. And this bed comes down in front of everybody. And they have to make space, presumably on the ground, for the man to... So people are piling on top of each other as the man is on the ground, and Jesus looks up and sees the four friends in the roof, and he looks down at the man who's in front of him, and everyone presumably is saying, what's Jesus going to do now? What's he going to say? And Jesus, true to form, he looks at the guy and he says, son, and then he's going to talk to him. Now notice, just before Jesus speaks to him, it says in verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, what he's going to say. So he saw their faith. He saw that they had come, whether the man or the friends or all five of them, he saw that they had come to him because they saw in Jesus something that he could do for them, something Jesus could do for them, something they needed. And they said, Jesus can fix this for us. Jesus can sort it. We'll go to him. They had faith in Jesus. They trusted him, presumably, to heal their friend. Jesus had a good track record. They'd seen him. They knew about him healing other people. So they come with their friend. So Jesus notices that and says, son, and what we expect him to say is, stand up and walk, and there's going to be a great miracle. But what Jesus says to him is, son, your sins are forgiven. It's not what we expected. It's not what the man wanted. It's not what the friends wanted. So why does Jesus not play ball? Why does he introduce this completely new thing, sin? Why does he bring that in? When no one's talked about it before, it's not been on anybody's agenda. Why does Jesus throw it in as the first thing? Son, your sins are forgiven. Mark, with the story, doesn't give us a chance to stop and think about that, because he rushes in with something different. In the corner, there's these teachers of the law. These are the kind of religious leaders, the clergy, if you like. And they're in the corner and they're thinking to themselves, how dare Jesus say that? Who does he think he is? Now, they don't voice it, but that's what they're thinking. And Jesus knew this is what they were thinking. See verse 8, immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts. And what they were thinking is there in verse 7. See, they have picked up on what Jesus said. Son, your sins are forgiven. And they went all uppity and think, huh, that, what's that got to do with him? Jesus, he shouldn't be saying things like that. Only God can forgive sins. How dare Jesus put himself in the place of God and pronounce that this man's sins are forgiven? Because that's what Jesus is doing, isn't it? He's not just saying, oh, like everyone else, you've got nice and kind and soft and cuddly and your sins will be forgiven. Jesus is not saying that. Jesus has said, son, your sins are forgiven. In other words, I forgive your sins. And these religious leaders realize what Jesus is saying and they don't like it. And they turn on him in their hearts and heads. And Jesus flushes them out about what they've thought. He wants to bring it into the open. And then Jesus offers them a little question. Something to make them think, and everyone else. He includes them all. He says, this is the end of verse 8, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat and walk? So which is easier to say? Well, they're both easy to say, they're just words. Get up and walk, or your sins are forgiven. I've just set them both to the carpet. They're easy to say. But obviously that's not what Jesus is doing here. Jesus is saying, anybody could say, your sins are forgiven. Or anybody could say, get up and walk. But both of those questions are demanding a response, aren't they? Both of those questions are something that results from them. Both of those statements. If Jesus said to the man, or commands, Jesus said to the man, get up and walk, what are we looking to happen? What do we hope will happen? That the man gets up and walks. So if Jesus says to the man, get up and walk, and he can't, then Jesus is embarrassed. He's a false healer. He's proved to be a charlatan. But if Jesus were to say, son, your sins are forgiven, we can't see all the sins flying away. The man will look exactly the same as if his sins had never been forgiven. So, are they forgiven or not? How do we know? See, that's the question Jesus is posing, isn't it? He said to the man, your sins are forgiven. But these other guys and everyone else presumably thinking, well, how do we know if that happened or not? Are his sins forgiven or are they not? So in a way you could say that's the harder question to ask, because you cannot prove that it's happened. But if you said to the man, stand up and walk, then we know if it happens or not, if the man's healed. Because if he gets up, he's healed. If he doesn't, he's not. It's pretty obvious. So the result is pretty obvious. So Jesus is saying here, isn't he, I've said the thing that can't be proved. But what if I were to say the thing that can be proved? If my word fits, if my word can do the deed of the thing that's maybe easier to say, get up and walk, then my words can do the deed of the thing that is maybe harder. Your sins are forgiven. So Jesus is putting out a challenge to everyone in the room. He's saying, not only can I heal, you've seen me do that before. He's saying, I can now do something better, something bigger, something more important, which is to deal with sin, to forgive sin. And of course, Jesus then says to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home. And he got up, took his mat and walked out in full view of them all. Jesus' word worked. The command, get up and walk, worked. And so Jesus is saying, the command, your sins are forgiven, worked. Isn't that true? That must be what Jesus is doing here. Now, let's get to let's probe to this point properly. And this is what Jesus, what he does is different from what he says. What he says here, verse 10, this is the key thing, I think. I want you to know, he's saying to the religious leaders who are having attack on him, but he says to everyone in the room, he says, I want you to know that the Son of Man, that I, Jesus says, has authority on earth to forgive sins. In other words, God in heaven forgives sins, but Jesus says, God has given me the authority here also to forgive sins. I have God's authority to forgive sins on earth. And Jesus says, I want you to know that. So he's basically saying, I want you to know that, so I'm going to demonstrate it, that I forgive sins. So what Jesus does is, he heals a man who can't walk. But what he says is, I'm showing you that I'm here to forgive sins. That's my preferred thing to do. Healing, yes. Forgiving sins. I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So, let's think about this for ourselves. This man and his friends presumably thought this man's big problem is that he can't walk. His main problem is he can't walk. So we'll come bring him to Jesus so that Jesus can give him what he needs, the thing that is his biggest problem. But Jesus says, no, 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 that's not your biggest problem. Jesus says to the man, your biggest problem is that you're a sinner. Now, they did the diagnosis. But they come to Jesus and Jesus re-diagnoses and says, no, 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 yeah, you can't walk, but the real problem is this. Now, isn't that important? See, this is why I ask the question, what is Jesus to you? To that man who was paralyzed, who couldn't walk, to his friends, Jesus was something who could fix the big problem that they had identified. The problem of his suffering. And so they had faith in Jesus for that. What was Jesus to them? A healer. Someone who could deal with their big problem. What is Jesus to you? Is he someone you come to with your problems? Do you say, well, I've got, this is what I'm struggling with, or I wish I was like this, or this kind of thing. I'll go to Jesus. He can help. That's what they do, and Jesus welcomes them in a way. But see, what he then does, he re-diagnoses. So if I come to Jesus and say, look, I'm really struggling with this, or someone in my family is really unwell. I come to Jesus with this. My diagnosis is they're unwell, they're suffering, or whatever it might be. But Jesus may well re-diagnose. And see, there's two layers. The obvious thing, the man can't walk. The less obvious thing, the man is a sinner. We see the surface. Jesus sees the deep thing, the thing that really matters, the thing ultimately which is the cause of this thing, not for the man himself necessarily, but ultimately the sin is the cause of human suffering. So Jesus says, this is, yes, I can see this matters to you and I'll sort that, but actually I'm saying this matters more, this lower level. That's what you need sorted, and I will do that for you. Now isn't that important? So who is Jesus to you? Is he someone who will grant your wishes, even your deep wishes? What do you think you need in life? Now, you tell me, what do you think you need in life? Is Jesus to you someone who will grant your wishes? I want to suggest to you today that Jesus is saying to you, as well as he's saying to me, I'm not here to grant your wishes. I'm here to diagnose a deeper problem, which is sin. And I'm not only here to diagnose it, but to solve it, to forgive sins. See, if Jesus were to say to me, you need to be a better person, then I feel hopeless because I've tried. So if Jesus gives me advice, or gives me a job to do, a task to do, or a new direction to try and work in. That creates more problems than it solves. Whereas if Jesus says to me, I've identified your problem, but I can deal with it. That's freeing, isn't it? So we might think, well, how dare he say to me that I'm a sinner, that I need forgiveness? But actually what he's doing is saying, I can change the thing that you can't change, and I can set you free. So this story, it seems to me, is Jesus saying to us, not just to people who are physically ill, but to all of us, let me go deeper. You want me to grant your deepest wish, but I'm telling you, your deepest wish is deeper than you think, and it's the need for forgiveness. So what is Jesus to you? Can I encourage you that Jesus to you becomes the one who deals with your sin, who says to you, you are a terrible sinner, deserving hell, but I will forgive it. I will forgive your sin if you come to me. These men came in faith, trusting Jesus. Jesus says, that's great, you've come to me, but trust me for something I show you, rather than the thing you think you need. I'm not someone to grant your wishes, but I'm someone to forgive your sins. There can be nothing better. You will never find anything more important than this, never. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that Jesus forgave sins on earth. Thank you that God on earth came to forgive sins. And thank you, Heavenly Father, that Jesus, through his Spirit now, can forgive our sins. So we ask that you will enable each one of us listening to this morning, each one of us to come to Jesus in order to have our sins forgiven. Father, show us that that is what we need. And show us this wonderful Saviour who will forgive all our sins. Amen.